Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Alan Choi, and welcome to the third in a conversation series from the East Bay Center for Anxiety Relief Collective. And today we are going to talk about giving permission for non-traditional families to carve their own path. And so, honestly, we're just going to start, but let me introduce myself, and then Karina, my colleague, can introduce herself. I'm a therapist. I'm the co-founder of the East Bay Center for Teen and Family Therapy, and also a therapist at the East Bay Center for Anxiety Relief. And gay dad. I've had my own journey from being a depressed and closeted gay teen to a married man, and now a gay dad, and I have a non-traditional, quote unquote, traditional family. And so, honestly, I had no idea, no blueprint for how I got here. And yet, I'm still going to talk about this. And Karina, you introduce yourself and, you know, tell us a little bit about your journey.
Hi, I'm Karina, she, her pronouns. I am a new therapist and a new parent. My whole new life is starting kind of all at once, which is exciting and a lot. But in a previous life, I was a musician, and I have a 6.5-month-old baby with my partner, who is a trans non-binary parent who identifies as our baby's dad. And I identify as the mom. And we don't know any families like ours in terms of having a known donor. We had a really hard time getting pregnant, and we had our baby through IVF, and then he was 6 weeks early. And we also live in a 4-generation, multicultural, multiracial household. So we have just figured it all out as we have gone, and it's taken a lot of imagination and Googling and talking to other people and kind of piecing it together ourselves. So
you're definitely not traditional. Your family and what you're describing is not traditional, and you are figuring it out. And we were just talking right before we started this, like, you're in the process of figuring out, how do you even sleep?
Yeah, I don't know. And there's a lot of, my partner and I are trying really hard not to just do what sort of the Western capitalist paradigm is telling us to do, where it's like, do everything possible just so you can be more productive and go back to work. We're like, what have people been doing for thousands and thousands of years, and what's in the best interest for the baby? So that's just another way that we're not kind of, we're going against the grain a little bit and sort of carving our own path, even down to the sleep training.
I mean, can we actually just go back to, like, even start off with, like, what is this topic? Like, you know, our topic is permission for non-traditional families to carve their own path. But I don't know, maybe explain, like, I think you actually came up with this one, with this idea. Why are we even talking about this? Like, especially as, you know, as members of the LGBTQ plus communities. Why is this important?
I think, I mean, and also as therapists, I think it's really important, even down to when I was pregnant and I was seeing my queer teens, and just, I thought it was really important to share with them that I was having a baby with my non-cis male partner, because I would have liked to have seen that when I was a teenager, that we can meet and fall in love with whoever we want to. And if we want to have kids, we can. And if we want to get married, we can, or not. My partner and I have chosen not to get married, which is another thing that's non-traditional. And I think it's really important for people to feel like they can live the lives they want to. And there's a lot of reasons out there, a lot within our families, within our cultures, within our communities and our society at large, that tell us there's only 1, 2, or 3 ways to do things. And when there's actually a lot more than that, and it takes a little bit of the extra work out when you see other people doing things similar to what you would want to do, or at least doing things that are against the norm I think it helps us all feel like, oh, I can do that too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you said something like really salient for our communities is that like, we're told that there's a, you know, one way to do things, right? Like, you know, the traditional way. And I think the thing is like, this is why I'm a therapist, because there was one way to live and that was to be a straight man. And the thing is, when you don't fit into this narrative, I think people that maybe aren't in the community may not understand this, but if you're not, that if you don't fall into this one way, one path, the right population, then there is no blueprint. There isn't like, you know, it almost feels like you don't have a future because you're not, you know, it's not even, at least for me, I know that, you know, if we're going to, you know, we're talking about families today. But like families start with just like, you know, the one person being okay with themselves and hopefully finding, you know, some level of partnership to like be with someone else. And I do think that like, if you're not, and at least how I grew up, I didn't fit in. And so it didn't even seem like I'd even ever fit into the population, find anyone, much less start a family. And so there is no blueprint if you don't think you're part of the community. And I don't know, I guess going back to the, like, why is this important? Like, hey, maybe the message is like, I don't know, for people out there listening, if they feel like they belong or they have, that they can have a blueprint or that, you know, they can have whatever path they want. And maybe it's just not really clear, but there can be one. And yeah, it's important to be able to know that you can have one. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately for me and you, like, you know, we've had to carve our own. And without having you know, being able to have the safety of fitting into the traditional path that we can do. At least that's how this topic is for me.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess if we're going to start off with this, you know, go along with this topic. What, I think I sort of said one already, but what do you think are some of the messages told to queer parents or couples or individuals about families and relationships? What were you told?
Well, I actually think that you had a really good answer to this one. And I will just defer to you because I think it's what I would say too, where there wasn't any messages about it. For me growing up, I didn't know any queer anybody who had a family. And I have siblings who are much younger than me. So in their generation, they started to have some parents where they had like two dads or two moms. Mm-hmm. But that's still not super common. And I didn't know anyone who had a trans parent. So that's gone even farther. My partners still had a lot of trouble finding community of trans parents. And again, to just anyone who's like different, even if it's just like a single parent, somebody who's not raising children in partnership, there's still so much mom, dad, my husband, my wife talk, even in like postpartum groups and moms groups and stuff like that, where we still are finding that we don't fit. And so I think the messaging out there, and I want you to elaborate on it, the messaging is that it's not a thing. We're kind of invisible.
Elaborate on that. Like, it's not a thing. What do you mean it's not a thing?
Like queer families. There's very few messaging. It's not in movies. It's not on TV. If it is, it's like a thing. Like it's this big whatever thing. And the messaging I heard growing up was that lesbians or queer women didn't have kids, didn't have families. So I kind of always thought I would have to be straight or be with a man if I wanted to have kids.
Wow. And so, and if you had to sort of like limit yourself like that, what did you even think about? Like if you had, like, you know, if you wanted a family, did you seriously entertain the idea of like, you know, limiting yourself and, you know, living a smaller life?
At times, yeah. At times I have, even in my adult life, I am sometimes attracted to cis men. So I've kind of been like, well, if I want to have kids, maybe that would be easier. I didn't think it was impossible to do without a man, but I thought it would be easier. And the older I got, the more I'm like, okay, I don't have very much time to do all this fertility stuff or adoption stuff. So let me just try to get pregnant by a man. Thank God that never worked out. And I think when I got to the point where I realized that's not for me, that's when I really started to expand my mind, actually. That's when I really started to be ask myself, like, what do I, if I don't want this, what do I really, really want? And it was to call on my male best friend and ask him to be the donor and to have this baby with my partner. And it's not something anyone ever showed me or told me, but that's what I decided I wanted to do.
That's awesome. And you know what? How do you feel? You are in it now, right? You are living your dream, right? Like part of your, one of your dreams. How does it feel outside of the sleep deprivation to know that this is what you have created and are doing?
It blows my mind, honestly, that I got these people and my family who we live with, who is very supportive of us with just like helping with childcare and that sort of thing. I can't believe that I convinced all these people to just like roll with it, with this idea I had, that they're like, okay. And now we have like a person as a result of this. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I'm an older parent too. I'm in my 40s. And that's also like another part of it that's just miraculous and amazing. And I'm very proud. Very proud of what we're doing and what we've done. And I'm like, just so grateful. And my partner and I, and our, one of our doulas have created a postpartum community for queer and trans parents. And that's been really amazing too. Just to be with other folks who have similar, not exactly the same, but similar stories. And also for our little ones to meet other kids whose parents are more like his, so that he also doesn't feel like he's the only one.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm hearing from you is, and I'm going to actually agree with you. I mean, in my personal story, my family, I think our messages are like, hey, if this is what you want, if you have an inclination to be connected or to create your own family unit, whatever that looks like, or, you know, have whatever relationship you want, it's worth it. Even though we don't have the blueprint, we were not, you know, it didn't seem like we were told that we could have this. You can, and it feels good if you're actually going for what you want. And I think I do want that message to be shared, because honestly, for me, I went a different route. I went the route of, in terms of being a parent, working through the foster system and adopting a wonderful kid who came to us at 7.5, and now he's 12. And honestly, I never thought I would be doing it. I mean, never thought I could, you know, would be a parent. I know I always loved kids and everything. And I mean, God, the path is so, there were so many twists and turns from talking to my partner, who wasn't as like, you know, thing that he wanted kids. And we went to therapy to try to resolve that. Like, how does it feel like if I'm not going to have a kid? To then we explored surrogacy and, you know, started opening up paths there, like finding someone who'd be interested in being a surrogate, and looking for egg donors, and then also exploring the path parallel to looking through the foster system and adopting domestically. And even within there, there's so many different things that you have to do if you are not going to be doing this the traditional way, right? Biological, having, you know, creating a baby just in terms of with intercourse with your partner. If you're not doing that path, there are other paths, but it is so much harder. And I feel like I'm sort of going all over the place. So much harder, but so worth it, because I don't even know exactly what I'm doing all the time. I sort of do. And at the same time, when I check in with myself and I look at my kid and see that, like, you know, the things that I, you know, values that I want him to uphold, that I think will benefit him and make him happy, like he's showing, and that he's like grown, and that most importantly, he's happy and he feels connected. I mean, like, seriously, I have so much joy. Like, I just feel like I'm just like, I'm happy just talking. I'm just like feeling, being filled with joy as I'm talking about this, because I love being a parent.
I do too. I love it.
Oh, well, I don't know what messages we had that were coherent, but do it. It's a good thing. I do think it's really important to identify, maybe that, as we've said, queer relationships are different. And if you're going to navigate, creating your own family, or at least talking about it and exploring it, and maybe even navigating with a therapist, which I did, definitely, I thought it was really useful. And obviously, I'm biased, but that, you know, we have checked in with therapists many times in our journey to get married, be parents, and continue sort of nurturing our parent relationship, nurture my relationship with my husband. Therapist all the way, because it's been, you know, I consider it an investment. I guess, what are some of the differences in queer relationships that if you seek a therapist, that it's important to be understood by the therapist that, you know, you choose?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I definitely use the support of my therapist through this whole thing too, which I'm sure is amazing for her to see, like, from beginning to end. And now I have a little person. But one thing I think is really important for folks to keep in mind is that because queer and trans folks are not a part of the assumed norm, that we all have a coming out story, all of us. And in a way that, you know, cishet people don't. And so it makes us really cool and interesting, you know, that we all have this, like, coming out to our families, our communities, and everyone at large. A lot of us have multiple coming out stories. Some folks come out as queer than trans, or they sort of change their label throughout their lives, as I have. The other thing that makes us...
Can I add that you have to keep coming out too? Like, even if your identity, you know, sort of maybe remains the same, right? Which it could change, or you can discover, right? But
every time
you have to keep coming out to different people externally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm still coming out. I'm like, God, I'm pretty gay. Trust me.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but yeah, still coming out. And depending on who I'm talking to.
Yeah. And as parents, going to the doctor, probably going to schools when he gets older. Doing all the whole birth thing. Our kid was in the NICU for 3 weeks because he was a preemie. And every time, you know, we met a new nurse, which was a lot, I would have to introduce my partner and their pronouns. And this is our kid's dad and I'm the mom. And a lot of things that other folks don't have to do. And also, I could go on and on about this, but when I was pregnant, a lot of people assumed I was straight because I was a pregnant woman. And I think that drove me nuts. But I think that it's, people don't even realize the bias that they have, that if you're pregnant, you must have a husband or a man. So that was a whole other thing. And if
can I add that? Yeah. Like, adding on to that, I somehow now am confused for straight more often because I'm like, oh, I'm a dad. And they assume like, oh, so your wife, how, like, you know, what does your wife think? I'm like, oh, girlfriend, come on. No. And, you know, it's because of it's that internalized bias, right? That they have, intrinsic bias that they have, like, oh, it's a straight family. They're like, no.
Yeah.
It's, you know, his other dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Anyhow.
So yeah, no, you're right. Constant coming out. What are some other differences that I think, and if you're looking for someone who can support you, that you want to make sure that your therapist, you know, you work with a therapist that understands some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
What's something else that I think is important, like an important difference in your mind?
Well, yes, the coming out and all that stuff. The fact that queer folks with families have had to deal with a lot of bureaucracy. I mean, we have had two different experiences, but you with the foster adoption system and me with the IVF fertility system, lots of bureaucracy, lots of people knowing a lot of personal things about us, a lot of costs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, navigating adoption stuff. My partner had to adopt our child officially. So those are so many roadblocks that, many cishet couples don't have. Of course, if they have fertility issues, they might have those same roadblocks, but not every time like we do. So we all have a coming out story. We all have a becoming a family story. And we have all also, because we don't have traditional gender roles in our relationships, and probably were raised by, we were certainly raised in a cishet society, but probably also by cishet parents in most cases, that we didn't learn our roles in our relationships from anyone else. And we've had to kind of figure that out and navigate it for ourselves, which I love, but it also still takes some negotiating. And as parents, what's your role?
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
No, I think like you are really, I think you put it really eloquently, and like you make it seem like sound really simple. And I mean, honestly, it can be so much. It's not just a matter of like even talking to a therapist. I know I've talked to some of my clients who are navigating this. I don't believe that it's enough to just talk about how you feel about things and talk, do talk therapy. Sometimes like there are real barriers. Like someone has to check off your ability, someone in some system somewhere has to check off on you so that you can get on this journey, whether it's surrogacy, whether it's foster, and you're at the whims of people that, generally they're pretty nice. And at the same time, you're at their whim and you have to know how to navigate these external systems. So I think there's a lot there, a lot of like, as you said, the roadblocks that they're coming in with, and it helps to have someone that can understand and maybe have some resources around that. Let's not just talk about it. Let's help you problem solve. Let's find you some resources to get you through, navigate this whole web of things. And then yes, and then on top of that, the maybe possible overwhelm, all the different emotions. It's a roller coaster, especially when you're first starting. And if you're, at least for me, I remember waiting to be matched with with the kid. It was like a roller coaster where 1 week like nothing was happening and you just feel sort of sad and depressed and just anxious. Yeah. And then bam, someone shows up as a possible match and then you get your hopes up, but then it's gone again because maybe you weren't the right match. It's unpredictable. It's overwhelming. It's a lot.
It is an emotional roller coaster. And it really helped for me to just process how unfair it felt. And not that my therapist can fix that, but that I had a place to just be like, I'm so angry. This is so unfair. This sucks. And for that not to become so consuming that it got in the way of me getting what I wanted. So I could go in there and be upset and process all that frustration, but like still get done what I needed to get done to have this baby that I wanted.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah. Just be able, having a space just to dump out.
Yeah.
And just like, just talk through your problems. You may not have a solution right away, but just get it out and just like be, mm-hmm. I sort of call it like cleaning the pipe, so to speak, so that you can, you can sort of keep working, keep undraining, like there's going to be another like clogged pipe somewhere else. So you're going to need the energy and it to work on something else.
Yeah. And then once you have the baby or the kid, then there's this whole other set of things.
That's just parenting.
Forever and ever and ever. And that our kids are going to have to come out forever also on our behalf, that they don't have a traditional mom and dad. And how can we support and affirm them so that they can do that?
Oh, yeah. My kid is doing that regularly now. Sometimes he comes out, sometimes he doesn't, but he's asked constantly, like, oh, how about your mom? What's your mom's birthday? It'll be different random questions related to different contexts. And so I watch his face, and sometimes like he has to really think about it, if I'm there. And then sometimes he'll come out and sometimes he'll just like sort of just let it be. So it's definitely, it's definitely a whole family process here.
It is.
Well,
I should probably get.
I know that we have to get close to our, I think this is meant to be our part one.
Yeah.
And then we're going to continue this part two. But I know that we started this conversation identifying that there is a lot of differences in sort of how queer families are created, how to navigate them, how to create them. And I guess my question here is, like, I feel like maybe we've talked about like a lot of good things, but also talked a lot about like how challenging it can be. Maybe we can close this session off with maybe like a little bit of a message of hope that we might want to give people. And then maybe for our next, our part two, what if we talk more deeply about how we can help clients, or how people can help themselves if they're in the community, carve their own path.
Yeah, I look forward to sharing some exercises, imaginative type stuff next time. I mean, I think I've said most of it. Our families are very intentional, which, you know, none of this has happened accidentally, in my case, at least. And I feel really proud of that. And I will feel proud to share that with my kid as he gets older and has more of an understanding of him being a person in general, that he was really wanted. And we are very intentional about the way that we're raising him. And I think he's going to have a great imagination too, because he is the result of an imagination.
I'm not going to say anything else. That was put really beautifully. So we're going to pause on that today, and we will stay tuned for next time.
Thank you.